Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., all rights reserved.
Jim Blasingame, he's the cyber king of small business. Search Google for small business expert, and he's tops on the list.
I guess that makes you number one.
He's number one on Google and number one in our hearts.
Aww.
He's Jim Blasingame, the small business advocate.
We're back. It's 34 after the hour. Thank you very much for joining me. Thanks for hanging around with me. My pleasure, as always. If you just tuned in, welcome aboard. If you've been listening already, we consider that a sign of high intelligence, and you just got more of that to look forward to, because Don Boudreau is our guest, ladies and gentlemen. Don's a longtime original member of our Brain Trust. We've known him in a number of different jobs, but most recently, the last several years, he is the chairman of the department of the famous Department of Economics at George Mason University. He's the guy, ladies and gentlemen, who has become my mentor when it comes to free trade. You guys know that I believe free trade is in Don's marrow. I'm telling you, he's a true free trader from way back. He's our good friend. Don, welcome back to the show.
Glad to be here, Jim.
It's good to have you here. And by the way, Don has a new book out called Globalization. Don, it's just hitting stands right now, isn't it?
Yep. Yesterday was its formal release date.
There you go. And so we're sort of launching it on this show today. We're not going to talk about it as much today. We're going to weave it into our conversation. But the next time you join us in the next few weeks, after I get my copy, because we didn't have you didn't have any early copies for me, I'm going to look at it and we're going to go over it. Don, in my speeches that I give around the country and on my show, I tell people that globalization is neither good nor bad. Globalization has actually been going on for thousands of years, since the Phoenicians traded with the Egyptians, since Og traded with Gog across the Alsatian Mountains, 100,000 years ago. Globalization is nothing new under the sun. It's just that we've gotten really, really good at it these days. What do you think?
Oh, that's true. I mean, I do think it's good, but whether it's good or bad, I mean, certainly has been happening. I will say that in modern times, there was a period where it did decline pretty significantly, starting about right around World War One. It did take a significant decline in terms of number of imports, migration of people, international travel of capital.
Well, the Smoot-Hawley Act in the early 30s was the death nail, wasn't it?
It was one of the many acts, not only in the United States, but abroad, that constricted globalization. And we all know what happened in the first half of the 20th century. It was a period of terrible economic decline.
Yeah.
And it was only when we got out of that, right at the end of World War II, when globalization started again to increase, that not only U.S., but worldwide, prosperity began to increase as well.
Well, I believe that trade is a good thing, and the reason I said the reason I used the example of globalization is neither good or bad. I think globalization is the trade manifestation of our intellectual journey.
That's right. I think that's right. I think we are hardwired to trade.
Yes. Yeah, and it's good for everybody. And, of course, folks, those of you who've heard me speak many times before about when I've quoted Bastiat, Frederick Bastiat, the great. I call him the 19th century French economist/comedian, because he's such a funny guy. But Don is the guy who introduced me. Don Boudreau is the guy who introduced me to Bastiat. And Bastiat is the guy that you've heard me say many times before, paraphrasing him just a little bit: when goods cross borders, armies don't. Don, I think trade is going to be the 21st century peace dividend. What do you think?
I think that's right. I certainly hope it's right. History, the future is difficult to predict. All kind of things can happen, but I'm pretty up. Despite the problems we always suffer, I'm pretty optimistic about it, and I'm largely optimistic because I do think that globalization is going to continue apace, and I do think that globalization and trade does tend to promote peace. As I like to say, people in South Carolina don't go to war with people in California.
Right.
They have different cultures in a way, but no one thinks they're going to take up arms against each other, and that's not because they have the same government. They had the same government back in 1860, right?
Mm-hmm.
But they trade a lot more now than they did then, and so they feel like they're more part of the same culture.
Well, and then you get situations like the lead paint and toys in China, and some of the other stuff, the food, the tainted dog food. Those are the kinds of episodes. Those are just episodes that cause people to paint globalization as a bad thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean the way I like to put it on that particular issue is treat foreign goods the very same way you treat domestic goods. If you have standards, whether I think those standards are too strict or not is beside the point here. Whether you have standards, safety standards for toys, safety standards for paint, safety standards for automobiles, fine. Don't treat foreign producers any differently than you treat domestic producers.
Right. But the lack of control over those foreign folks, that's the where people get concerned about. We got a lot more to come, folks, after these messages with our good friend Don Boudreau. He's the dean of the School of Economics at George Mason University and the author of the brand new outstanding book, Globalization. Stay with us.
Many things I can't define. Occasions, vibes, wagons, clutter your mind. In the sense of top of
We're back. It's 17 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. We're visiting with our good friend Don Boudreau, Dean of the School of Economics. That's an incredibly prestigious job, ladies and gentlemen. That is perhaps the most prestigious economics school in the United States, maybe in the galaxy. What do you think, Don?
Well, I'm inclined to agree.
You're a little prejudiced, aren't you?
But I'm a little bit, but it's an objective statement. There are lots of fine economics departments in the country, but ours is one of them, and there are certain things that we excel at that no other school does.
Give us an example.
Our willingness, the willingness of our faculty and students to talk not only to other economists but to the general public. We have a lot of popular economic blogs. My own. We have the books we write.
CafeHayek.com. Give us that, by the way.
CafeHayek.com. It's my daily blog that I do with my colleague Russell Roberts. And we have lots of other colleagues have other blogs. We write lots of books for the general public. My colleague Tyler Cowen just came out with a very popular book called Discover Your Inner Economist. That's selling very well. And so while we do a lot of scholarly writing like most other economics departments, we also write for a general audience because we are excited about economics. We like to we get a personal charge about at explaining economics to a non-professionally trained audience.
Well, see, I like that about what you guys are doing, because I'd like for small business owners, and that's the reason why a regular fare on my show, regular programming on my show, Don, is with people like you and other economists. We've got a half a dozen economists who are members of our brain trust, and at least two, if not more, of those guys report on our show every month on what's going on out there in the national, the global, sometimes regional economies, and various industries. I want small business owners to become more knowledgeable of how various sectors of the marketplace, how they react against each other, how they react to each other, but especially, Don, and you're the best in the world at this, especially with regard to trade, to international trade.
Yep. Well, I mean, I'm sure I'm not the best in the world, but I do think, obviously, that's a very important aspect. That's what I focus my research and writings on.
Let's just bring this discussion home a little bit, Don, and talk a little bit about the U.S. economy. What are your thoughts about the U.S. economy right now?
Well, as I think I mentioned in the past to you, Jim, I am almost allergic to making predictions because I don't trust my short run sense of where things are going. I am a long run optimist. What will happen in 2008? I don't know. All kind of things can happen that maybe will make 2008 a recession year or not. I'm certainly not convinced that there will be a recession. There might be. But I think if you look out over, say, 5 years, 10 years, I see steady growth. It'll have blips. Sometimes it'll go higher. Sometimes it'll go lower. But I'm a long-term optimist. I really am. So what will happen in the immediate future, I don't know. What will happen over
What do you think about some of the factors that are going on right now in terms of how inflation is being managed? Are you concerned about inflation?
I am concerned about inflation. It concerns me that there's a lot of liquidity being pumped into the markets in order to, you know, reduce the immediate bite of the mortgage credit crunch.
Mm-hmm.
I think in the short run that makes things better, but it's kind of like taking a drink in the morning when you're hungover.
Well, isn't that doing more of what they did to get us into this mess?
Yes, which is why I'm concerned about it. Exactly right.
All the liquidity that we had back in the early part of this century.
That's right. Look, you know, I like to tell my students, wealth is not money. Money is paper with green ink smeared on it. And you don't make a society wealthier by smearing more green ink on paper. You make a society wealthier by giving people incentives to work and to create, and part of that is keeping the money supply steady and under mm-hmm. under wraps. And now, I say I'm optimistic. I do think this recent increase in liquidity is not a good thing. I think it will cause inflation to rise. We'll get a measured increase in inflation that I think will be higher than it has been in recent years. But I do believe that over the long run, I don't think that this it indicates a major secular change in the way the Federal Reserve is going to operate. I think it will still overall keep pretty tight rein on the money supply.
In terms of a recession, Don, what I have told my audience over the last few weeks is that there's an excellent chance that we won't know that we're actually in a recession this quarter, beginning this quarter, and that we won't know that we're in one until we're out of it.
Yeah, well, that's true. I mean, I think
so why worry about it?
Yeah, one of the interesting trends over the past 30 years is that we've had fewer recessions. They're not as deep, and they're shorter.
Yep.
And I don't see any reason to suppose that that's not going to be the case.
And what do you think is the reason for that?
I think largely I think trade is a large part of it.
Yes.
That. You see, when your economy is diversified around among more people and among more regions of the globe, then events in any one region,
right.
will more likely to be offset by events in another.
There's no
region.
Question about that, and you never, and that's a, that is a truism. What Don just said is a truism, folks, and you'll never hear that on the Lou Dobbs show, by the way.
Oh no.
I also think systems like just-in-time inventory and better communication, better economic, better financial communication is all part of it, too. Hold on to that thought, Don. We're going to be right back with Don Boudreau. I'm Jim Blassingame. Stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back. It's 7 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and having a great visit with our good friend Don Boudreau, who's chairman of the Department of Economics at George Mason University. And that's give us that website in case we've got folks listening right now who've got some young whippersnappers that are going to be heading off to college and they're interested in a good college. Don, give us that website.
www.gmu.edu/economics.
All right, gmu.edu. And if you want to go to the economics department, put /economics. And also, Cafe Hayek. Give us spell it for us, too.
CAFEHAYEK.com.
That's Don's blog, and the other people have post there as well. And I'm a happy subscriber to your blog as well, Don. So thank you for sending me that information. Don, all six of the Democrat candidates have stated, not insinuated, but stated that they would allow the Bush tax cuts to just not be renewed. They would suspend them if they became president. What do you think that's going to do to the economy?
It's going to hurt the economy. When government takes more a larger chunk from productive activities, people engage in less productive activities. Democrats understand this when it comes to things like cigarettes and alcohol. Well, we want people to smoke less, so let's raise taxes on it, right? And they're proud. They say, well, we're going to do that because that'll reduce smoking. Well, it has the
That's what Al Gore wants to do with gas tax, right? He wants to raise tax on gas, so we use less gas.
When it comes to income-earning activities, they forget that. So, it's not going to have much of an effect on income. Of course it's going to have an effect on reducing income-earning activities. So if those tax cuts expire, it's going to make investment in the United States less attractive than it currently is.
Have you ever seen in your life a more dramatic demonstration of the success of supply-side economics as we've seen since 2003?
I think it was pretty successful back in the 1980s as well. But it certainly has.
It's been dramatic, though, hasn't it? The lesson we should have learned by this.
Taxes reduce economic activity. Cutting taxes stimulate economic activity. And that has happened here. Job growth has been pretty remarkable, despite claims that you hear to the contrary. Real income growth, real standard of living growth has been remarkable. You have more people, not only in an absolute sense, but in a percentage sense, who were in high income categories as defined back in the 1960s, than at any time in U.S. history. Americans are prospering by and large.
Well, and see what a lot of politicians don't get is they worry that some rich people are going to get a tax break. What they don't realize is those same tax breaks help the people who are the true engine of our U.S. economy, and that's small business owners.
That's true. That's true.
They miss that. We're like a hidden generation to them or something. We're a lost tribe to them or something.
They talk about taxes as if taxes hit some kind of store of wealth that's sitting in a garage somewhere. but wealth isn't in the garage. Wealth is out there circulating, seeking out income-earning opportunities. And those income-earning opportunities almost always create jobs and economic opportunity. And if tax that wealth, there'll be less of it circulating to create jobs and economic activity.
What about trade? What do you see for trade for the future for the next 2 years? If the Democrats get in?
The short run, I think I've never been so depressed about it. Again, I'm a long-run optimist, but it's very depressing that all of the Democratic candidates, at least all the major ones, are skeptical of trade. Even Hillary Clinton, who everyone thought was pro-free trade because of her husband, has now said, well, you have a time out on trade. She's clearly just pandering. The Republicans are not very good on trade, to be quite honest. Huckabee.
They haven't been great, have they?
No. Romney's lukewarm on it, but when he defends, you can tell his heart's not in it, and he gives all the wrong reasons for it.
Yeah. Who's the best candidate for free trade on either side?
Ron Paul.
Yeah. He's not going to get elected, though.
No, of all the serious candidates.
Of the people who can get elected, who's the best one on both sides?
I would guess Romney, but there, they're just not that good on it. Maybe.
Yeah.
I can't really recall what McCain's position is.
Yeah.
But certainly the Democrats are all bad.
Don, so I'm going to have your new book real soon, and congratulations. It's called Globalization, folks. It's available right now, and if Don Boudreau wrote it, folks, it's the best. So I'm looking forward to seeing it, Don. We'll do this again real soon.
Thanks, Jim. Good talking with you.
Happy New Year, as always. We'll see you later.
You.
Don Boudreau, ladies and gentlemen, Dean of the School of Economics at George Mason University and a longtime member of our Brain Trust. Got to go for this hour. Happy New Year, everybody. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. I'll be here on New Year's Day, live and in person.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.